Today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Kuf Test. Today's share sponsored anonymously with Chusra for Shalema for Tzvi Ben Chaya, who's undergoing surgery today. The surgery should be a success, and our learning should be with Chusra for Shalema. We are holding on daf Kuf Test, or we'll start on daf Kuf Test Amar Aleph at the very top at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to discuss a choker for a short term if he's only going to be working in the field for less than 7 years, that he can't do certain things that are going to cause long-term weakness in the field, because you can't give the guy back a field that's been damaged by the way that you worked in the field. Then the Gemara is going to record a machlokas whether a choker is entitled to increased value of a shikma tree that was growing in that field. He certainly can't take the tree, but can he get the, and there are no peros of the tree, it's just used for wood. Can he take the increased value of the tree that it went up while he was in the field? And the Gemara is going to have a couple of rayas to that machlokas, to which side of that machlokas we paskin like. And then the Gemara is going to tell stories where a tree sprouted in a field that you got the chakirus, and all of a sudden a tree grew in that field. What exactly the choker is entitled to in terms of the value of the trees? And then we're going to have four more stories of people who planted other people's vineyards and what exactly they're entitled to when they leave early, if they give up that job. And that's going to lead us into a discussion. One of those stories is going to lead us into a brief discussion of who a person can fire without any warning, because maybe this is one of those professions that without giving any asra, you can fire the person and say it's a pseidah de lo hadar, the loss is something that I'm never going to be able to retrieve, and therefore he doesn't require any warning. On Amud Beis, we're mostly going to focus on how to compensate someone who plants a vineyard and he leaves while he leaves before his term of employment is over. So how exactly does he get compensated? And we have to keep in mind at the same time that the owner is going to need to hire a sharecropper. So this guy planted the vineyard, but there's also going to need to be a sharecropper. What does the guy who planted, what percentage does the guy who planted the vineyard, is he entitled to? So that's going to be the topics of today's daf. Let's begin at the Mishnah. Hamakabel sadeh mechavero lishanim watos. A person is makabel a field b'chakirus for a short amount of time. Short amount of time is defined as less than 7 years. So he's mekabel to work in the field for less than 7 years. Lo yizra en a pishtan. During that time, he should not plant pishtan in the field, because pishtan is going to weaken the karka a great deal, and it's never going to go back to, within that 7 year time frame, it's not going to go back to its original strength. It takes 7 years for the land to recuperate. So you don't want to give back a field that's been weakened. Ve'ein lo b'koros shikman. Also, the choker is not entitled to the beams, the wooden beams that come from a shikma tree, because that also takes 7 years for it to replenish itself. So he's not entitled to take something that's going to leave a weaker field than what he received in the first place. But kibble menu lezayin shanim, if it's a 7 year arrangement, shana rishana yizra'en apishton yesh lo b'koros shikma, then in that first year he's allowed to take these items, he's allowed to plant pishton, and he's allowed to take the beams of the shikma tree, because by the end of the 7 years it will have replenished itself, and he's giving back a karka that's every bit as valuable as the karka that he got, and that's a fine way to maximize his take from this land. Now, we said at the very beginning of the parak that each of the Mishnayos in the parak, except for the first two, are either about a choker arrangement or about an arisus arrangement, but not about both. So Rashi over here says this is clearly a din in a chakirus arrangement. That's where we say that he's limited and he's not allowed to plant for these, if it's for less than 7 years, he's not allowed to plant pishton, he's not allowed to take the koros. Says Rashi, the ibe kablanus may deboy lizra shari abaylim cholken bo. If the arrangement is an arisus arrangement, where you're going to split with the owner of the karka whatever grows in this karka, you know, pishton weakens the land, but that's because it also happens to be very valuable. So that's why people would ever plant pishton. You might say, well, if it weakens land, who would ever want to plant it? Well, you want to plant it because it's very valuable. So if the Bala Sada is anyway going to receive a portion of the Pishtan, so then of course he'd be okay with you planting it in the field, even if you're only there for the short term. That would definitely be mutter. That's how Rashi says. However, the Ramban says you could view it the other way as well, that by Arisus it's going to be usher even on a long long-term arrangement. You see, by Chakiros, the whole issue is that he's getting back the field as is. By Arisus, it's not about getting back the field as is. It's about getting a percentage of what's growing in the field. So he may not want his field that he's continually going to be the owner of and retaining rights over throughout this entire period of time to be planted with Pishtun, that making such an investment in the field isn't worth it for him. So you're not allowed to plant Pishtun, the Ramban says, even regardless of the length of the term. Okay, so that's so let's see the Gemara. Says Gemara Amar Abaye, Bekoros Shikma Ein Lo, B'Shevach Shikma Yesh Lo. He's not entitled to the Koros of the Shikma, meaning he can't take the actual wood, but if those trees went up in value over the time that he was there, and he worked to make sure that those trees didn't get ruined and that those trees were strong, so he gets the increased value of those trees. Rava Amar Afilu B'Shevach Shikma Nami Ein Lo. No, he doesn't even get the increased value of the trees. What is the Choker entitled to? He's entitled to all the peros that grow in the field. What he's not entitled to is the field itself. So this machloka seems to be about how do we view the increased value of a shikma tree. Is that considered peros? Because the shikma tree doesn't have any actual peros, so its increased value is peros? Or do we view that as the karka itself, that the karka itself went up in value? So Meisve, the Gemara is going to try to bring two rayas. Raya number one, HaMekabel Sadeh Mechaveru V'Gias Manolatzeis Shamanov. Someone was Mekabel a field from his friend, and then it came time for him to leave that field. So Shamanov, we make an assessment of whatever needs to be assessed. So what needs to be assessed in order to decide how much to compensate him? My love, shaman lo bishevach shikma, doesn't it mean that we make an assessment of the increased value of the shikma? So you see that he gets reimbursed for the increased value of the shikma. Says lo, that's not what it means. Shaman lo yarka vasilka. Instead, it means that we give him the increased. We evaluate how much the vegetables and the beets that grew in that field are worth. And that he's not taking the actual vegetables with him, so we have to evaluate how much they're worth, because he's entitled to all the peros, and these are peros of the field. Says the Gemara, well, why isn't he taking them with him? Yarkav silka, narkav nishkal. If it's actual vegetables that grew in the field, well, the right thing to do would be to pick them out of the ground and take them with you. That's what he's entitled to. He was the choker, he's entitled to the peros of the field. So why would we have to do any sort of assessment? So bedlo mata yom deshuka. No, it was not yet the yom hashuk, so you don't want to pick the vegetables prematurely, lest they spoil before the yom hashuk, lest they rot before the yom hashuk. So since it wasn't the yom hashuk, it wasn't the right time to pick them from the field, but the choker is entitled to them, so you have to make an assessment of how much they're worth, even though he's not able to take the items themselves. So that doesn't serve as a raya whatsoever about the increased value of a shikma tree, because the increased value of a shikma tree is not the subject of what we are evaluating. So Tashma Gemara says another raya. HaMekabel Sadeh Mechaveru V'Hagiya Shviyas. Person was mekabel a field from somebody else, and it came the Shemitah year. So now he's going to be thrown out of the land. So Shamanlo, we have to make an assessment. Ask the Gemara, thrown out of the land in Shemitah year? Shvius, Mika Mafka Ara? That doesn't happen during Shemitah year. You don't get thrown out of the land that you buy during Shemitah year. Ele'ema mekabel sadeh mechaveru v'hagiya Yovel. Now we need to change one important word. It's not that Shemitah year came, it's that Yovel came. And Yovel, one is certainly thrown out of the land. It goes back to the original owners. So then Shaman Lo, we have to make an assessment. Vakati, says Mara, still, before we bring any rayas over here, Yovel Mika Mafka Kablanos. If he was Mekabel Asada, he's working, it means he never bought the field. He's a worker in that field, and he's entitled to whatever he's entitled to. He's entitled to the peros of the field, and in exchange, he's giving a Chakirus payment, whatever. But there's no such din that Yovel gets rid of such a person. Litzmisu Samarachmana. You know what? Yovel helps. If a person sold a field that otherwise, had it not been for the Dina Yovel, otherwise would have been Litzmisel. So it would have been forever. It would have been a final sale forever. That's when Yovel says, no, it's not forever. It stops at Yovel. At Yovel, it goes back. So, but a person who's a mekabel field to work on the field, Yovel doesn't cancel that arrangement. Ela'ema, so rather what we have to say is, we change another critical word. It's not a mekabel sada, you know, b'shmita, that it's v'igia shmita, nor is it a mekabel sada v'igia yovel, it's halokeach sada mechaver v'igia yovel. He actually bought the field, and it was Yovel that had come, so now he's going to be thrown out of the field. So Shamanlo, in that case, we have to make an assessment. So what's the assessment? The assessment must be that we're Shamanlo on the value of the Shikma tree that improved while it was by this guy. So just like by buying a field by Yovel, the buyer is entitled to the increased value of the Shikma. So Mistama, Choker, is also entitled to an increased value of the Shikma. Maybe you're going to say, no, maybe the assessment over there isn't about the Shikma tree at all. It's about the Yarka Vasilka that grow in the field. Says Mar Silka Vyarka Biovel Hefkerahu. Silka and Yarka that grow in the field is Hefker. It's not something that we would ever need to assess because he's not entitled to it. The whole world can go and take it. Elalav Shevach Shikma. It must be that we're talking about the increased value of a Shikma tree. That is certainly not Hefker. Only the peros of the field are Hefker during Yovel. The actual field, a person can't go and start digging boros in a field during Shemitah or Yovel. Right? The actual peros of the field are Hefker, but not the field itself. So the Shikma tree is not Hefker, and that must be what we are assessing over here to reimburse the person who had purchased this field. So Tirgma Abaya Libid Rava. So we thought that this was a raya against Rava, because Rava said the choker is not entitled to the shevach shikma, and over here we're saying that we make an assessment on the shevach shikma. So says Gemara, no, Tirgma Abaya Libid Rava. Abaya answers for Rava, which you have sometimes, that even though Abaya himself is cholik on Rava, intellectual honesty, he it would help him if this was a raya. But Abaya says, you know what, this is not a raya against Rava. Rava could easily answer shiny hasam damakra viyatsa memker bias mimecher choser shevach memker choser shevach inu choser, that a sale is choser but shevach is inu choser, meaning that this is dafka din when there was a purchase. That's where we have to be shaman the shikma tree. But if you're a choker and you're just working in the field, then there is no such din that we are shaman, that we assess the shikma tree. Says more, well, why not? In general, we have such a thing called a memetzinu, binyanav, that if something appears in one place in the Torah, we have the right to be dorish to the rest of the places in the Torah, as long as it's in the same area within dinei mamonos. So this is within dinei mamonos. So just like when a person buys a field at Yovel, we're going to assess the value of the increased value of the shikma, and we're going to reimburse him. So too, when a person is mekabel a field b'chakiros, we should assess the increased value of the shikma tree and reimburse him. So says Gemara, Hasam Zvini Ma'al Yehu, V'Yovel Afkasa Demalkehi. No, because by Yovel it's an entirely different arrangement. It's an absolute sale, and it's just, so he's entitled to everything. He bought the entire field, including the actual karka itself. It's just that the halacha is that he has to give it back. Afkasa Demalka, the halacha is that at Yovel he has to give it back. So since he bought the actual karka itself, of course he's entitled to the increase in the shikma. The whole machlok by Rava was, do we view the increased value of the shikma to be peros, or do we view it to be karka itself? But if it's karka itself, whatever is karka itself, the choker is not entitled to. But that's unlike a lokeach. A lokeach bought the karka itself, so he's going to be entitled to the increased value of the shikma regardless, because he owned the karka itself. So that's why we can't learn from Yovel to choker arrangement. Rav Papa Kabel Ara La Aspasta. Rav Papa, so Gemara is going to tell two stories where trees somehow sprouted in land that was not that was not part of the deal. Rav Papa was mekabel land to plant shachas, to plant fodder in that land. Kadchu ba tali, and trees sprouted up in the land. So Kikamistalik, when Rav Papa was leaving his position as a person who planted the land, Amalu Havali Shivchei says, I would like to have the shevach of those trees. Certainly went up in value, as because they came from nothing. So I would like the shevach. Amalei Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Rav Papa If there was a dekel tree there and it got stronger over your time there, would you be claiming the shevach of that as well, of the dekel tree? That certainly you're not entitled to, because the whole idea, even Abaye, as Tosfos points out, even Abaye who says that you're entitled to the shevach of a shikma tree, that's only because a shikma tree doesn't have any peros, but a dekel tree has peros. You certainly wouldn't be entitled to the shevach of a dekel tree. So I'm like, hasam la v'dayta da'achinachis, ana hacha adayta da'achinachisna. He says, well, that wasn't when you go for a dekel tree, you're not planning on getting the increased value of the tree. The whole point of taking a field with a dekel tree is to get the peros from the dekel tree. But over here, I was taking this field to plant, so whatever's going to grow in this field is what I'm interested in receiving a portion of. So a tree grew in this field, and that's therefore part of what my das was to work in such a field where I'm going to get whatever grows in here. So come on, are we assuming dafka like Abaye that the person is entitled to the shevach of the shikma? Says no, even if you're assuming like Rava that one is not entitled to the shevach of the shikma, hasam lesle pseida. Hacha ika pseida. Over there was no loss. Whatever the shikma goes up in value doesn't cost the guy who's working in the field anything. Meaning if the shikma goes up, down, stays the same, it doesn't make a difference. If you went to work in the field, you're not working on the shikma, you're working on every other area of the field. What happens to the shikma has no effect whatsoever on the rest of the field. So that's what Rav is going to say. You're not entitled to the shevach of the shikma. It had no effect on the rest of your work. But over here, there's a loss because you went into this field, whatever the square footage of this field was, you wanted to maximize every last inch of the field. And now all of a sudden, trees grew there. So as a result, of those trees, you can't plant what you otherwise would have planted there. So you lose out. You lose out on that space. So that's why he says he's entitled to it. If that's your whole claim, so what did you lose out? The space where to plant fodder in the few feet where there is now a tree and there could have been fodder? Great. Shkol yada das pasta vizil. We're happy to give you the value of whatever fodder you could have planted, whatever shachas you could have planted in that exact spot where the tree is, and then you go on your way. But you don't get the actual value of the tree, the shevach of the tree. Amalei ana korkum arishka rabbi. He says, who says that I would have planted fodder? Maybe I would have planted saffron seed, which is a very expensive type of thing. Amalei galisa adait chadil mishkal v'saluke avadit. Oh, if that's your taina, you're at least saying that whatever you wanted to plant there, you're only entitled to something to plant and take it with you, to uproot it and take it with you. You're certainly not entitled to do that with a tree. You cannot uproot the tree. So shkal korkum arishka v'zil en lecha ela demei etzim bilvad. So what you get is the Demei Eitzim, meaning if you were to uproot this tree, you'd be entitled to the value of an uprooted tree. An uprooted tree is only as valuable as the wood that it currently has. So that's all you're entitled to, not the shevach of the tree, which is the long-term value of the tree. You're entitled to whatever value the wood of the tree currently has. Ravivi Barabai Kabbalah Rav Ahadalei Mishunisa. Ravivi Barabai was Mekabal land, and rocks came up. It became a rocky land. So certain grass grew on the rocks, or certain types of trees or grass grew on the rocks. So when he left the field, he said, you know, I'd like the shevach, because that apparently is valuable, and I would like what that's the value of that grass. Because you come from cut off people, you say things that are cut off, you say things that aren't thought through well enough. What does it mean he comes from cut off people? Says Rashi, mi beis eli, shayim mi mishpacha ru'ua, that he comes from the beis eli. Part of the curse of the beis eli is that they don't get to live a full lifespan. So he was saying to him that this was an expression that they would say, that because you come from that family, you're saying something that's not well thought out. the Aruch says Mimala is the name of a place, like the Medrash says. Meir went to Mimala and he saw that everyone was Shcharei Rosh, so he asked them, "Are you from the family of Eli?" Because it says in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, "V'kol Marbis Beischa Yamusu Anashim." And when they asked him to daven for them that they shav arichus yamim, he said that they should give tzedakah. Tzedakah tasam mavis, that will give them arichus yamim. But anyway, the base Eli, that was part of the curse, is that they don't live a long life. So Afilu Rav Papa says in Gemara, even Rav Papa lo amar el di islei pseida, hacha my pseida islach, meaning the reason this was not a well thought out comment, that he wanted to get the shevach of the items that grew on this rocky area, was that the only reason even Rav Papa wanted to claim that he's entitled to a shevach of trees that grow in that area is because he could have planted something else there, and that's what he's losing out. I'm losing out what I could have planted there. This grew on rocks. There was nothing else that you could have planted there. So you're not losing out at all when you don't get the shevach of things that spontaneously grew there. Rav Yosef Havalei Ahu Shasla. Rav Yosef had a person who worked for him to plant his kerem, as Rashi writes, Shasla's noter kerem bekarka balabayis va'alavlios aris kolayam v'notam lechzav peros. So the job is a twofold job. First of all, you got to plant the kerem, and then you have to work the kerem, and you're an aris. The deal is that you remain the sharecropper on that land. Shachiv, this planter died, v'shavak chamisha chasan vasa, and he left over five sons-in-law. He had only daughters, so he had, all of them were married. I don't know, maybe he had more daughters, but he left over five sons-in-law who were logically going to take over the job and were going to become the arisim. Amar adi idna chad hashta chamisha. He says, wait, up until now I had one person working in the field, now I have five people working in the field. That's not so good. Adi idna lavu samchei adadi v'lamafsiduli, which means up until now one person knew that he was fully responsible for everything that went on in this field. He wasn't relying on anybody else, and therefore he would put in his maximum work. Hashta chamisha samchei adadi mafsiduli. When it's five people, they'll each rely on each other. Oh, this guy will probably take care of it. That brother-in-law, he's the responsible one. He'll probably take care of it. So everyone's going to be relying on each other, and ultimately the job's not going to be done. It's similar to the phrase that Chazal have, that keder debetre lo chamimi velo kariri, that when you have a pot that two people are looking over, it doesn't get hot enough, it doesn't get cold enough, it doesn't get whatever it needs to get, because each person doesn't take full responsibility for it. It's always a person has to know that he's responsible for something in order for something to actually get done. Even though it's counterintuitive, you would think more people, that more work would get done, but we know that that's not the way it works. The Rashash wonders why the Arichos Halashon in the Gemara, that Rav Yosef was concerned that the Yorshei Aris is five people, it's going to cause him a hefsid. So why does he have to mention that both the fact that Ad Chamisha, Adin Chad, now it's Chamisha, and Adin there was no one to be Somichan, and now they're going to be Somichan. So he suggests that there was a double Chashash over here, which Luchora makes sense that it was a double chashash. That first he was chashash that the Yorshei Aris are five, that's going to cause a hefsid because each one is going to think a different way, and too many deos is not a good thing. Everyone's going to have a different plan of what to do with this. Oh, how should we make it? How should we maximize it? So that alone, just the fact that there are five deos in the field, there's no mahalich in how to deal with it, that alone is a problem. And then a second chashash, that when it comes to actually getting things done, they're each going to rely on each other to get things done. So it's actually a double chashash, the Rashash says. Amar luhu, ishaklisu shevchaichu masalkisu mutav. So he told them, I'll give you a deal. You want to take your shevach and get out of here? Good, you could do that. V'ilo masliknu luchu below shivcha. Otherwise, you're going to get out of here without taking any shevach. If a guy who planted a field dies, yorshim dilei mistalkin lo below shivcha. You can get rid of the yorshim without giving them any shevach. V'lav milsi, says Gemara, but it's not true. What does it mean it's not true? So Tosos, the comment of Tosos is on Amud Beis. It's a misplaced Tosos. Tosos says, Pirush Rivan Shlomer Davar Zemeolam Elav Chido Amar Kein. That no one really ever said this. It was just, you know, he was quoting them. Oh, you know, the old Rabbanim used to say that I could throw you out without giving you any Shevach. It was a lie. He was just trying to get them to agree to the terms of his agreement. Says Tosos, V'tema, Di'im Lo Amar Meolam, Lomi His Mishka Kol Kach Amorayim, Rav Huna, Vitim Rav Yehuda, Vitim, you know, no one said it, so he brings in so many different names. This one might have said it, that one might have said it, that one might have, why is he bringing in all these names? You know, make up a name and stick with it. That was a, so says, tells Yisham, Rav Yosef, Lo Hiskir Ela Echel Mehem. Rav Yosef clearly only mentioned one of these names. Ubnei Beis HaMedrash, Nistapku Bein Elu, Eze Mehen Hiskir. It was just that the Bnei Beis HaMedrash wasn't sure which of the names he actually mentioned. One could have suggested that he himself was saying that I don't remember which Gadol Amarayim said this, because if you stick to one name, they could call his bluff. Right, they could say, "Oh wait, no, we know that person didn't say that. We have on record that must have been one of the other guys that I said." Okay, but that's not how Tosos deals with it. So anyway, so says Gemara, "Who shasla damelhu imavsin the maslakna?" That a certain shasla guy who was planting a field said, "You know what? If your field loses, if in any ways any part of the field goes down in value, so then I will abandon ship and I will not be entitled to any payment for that." So ifsit, and then it went down in value. Amar Rav Yehuda mistalik below shivcha, so he goes out without any of the shevach, meaning part of the field was nifsad and part did not produce what it should have produced, so he doesn't get the shevach. Rav Kana amar mistalik v'shakol shivcha. No, he has to leave, but he is entitled to the shevach. Umodar Rav Kana diyamar ipasidna mistalakna below shivcha mistalik below shivcha. Rav Kana would agree that if he actually made that part of the arrangement, that he actually said mistalakna below shivcha, then he goes without any shevach. Rava Amar Asmachtehi. Even if he said that if the field is doesn't produce up to expectation, that I will lose out and I'll leave without any shevach, that was just an asmachta. Meaning, why did he say that? He said that because he thought that the field would produce up to expectation, if not more. Asmachta lo kanya. So when someone says something where he doesn't really mean it, it's only because he was planning on the other result coming out. So it's not going to. He's not bound by that agreement. Yeah, well, according to Rava, why is this any different than what the Mishnah had said previously, that if a guy leaves a field unworked, he's an aris, he's supposed to work in the field, and he decided, I'm going to take the year off. So he didn't work in the field. So the halacha is he has to pay the best of that, what that field could have produced, what we assess that field should have produced. Shouldn't we say, even though he made such an arrangement, it's a smachta, he only made that arrangement because he thought that he was going to work in the field and it was going to produce, why would he make that agreement to not work in the field and then have to pay out of pocket what the field could have produced? Says Mar, no, hasamai da'afsin mishalim. Over there it makes sense that he should have to pay that because he accepted this field by resource, so exactly what he's costing the owner of the field, that's what he's actually paying. Hachamai da'afsin. So you want to say the same thing over here. Here's what you should do. Whatever it underperformed by, that's how much you should deduct from the other parts of the field that did perform up to expectation. But still, whatever else is left, whatever other shevach, that he should still be entitled to. So if he says that he's going to walk away with nothing, that's obviously just an asmachta, and that is not a halacha, that he would have to walk away with nothing. He does get to, he is entitled to walk away with something. Says Mar, Runya Shasla de Ravina. Hava Runya had this job of being the planter of the vineyards of Ravina. Afsid, and again it went, it did not perform up to expectation. So Salke, so Ravina fired him. Asil Kameh de Rava, Runya came to Rava, Amalei Chazil Mar Maikavidli. You see what he just did to me? He fired me. I'm out of a job now. So Amalei Shapiravid, he said, yeah, you were a terrible worker. You know, that's why you're out of a job. Amalei Halo Hisrabi, but he didn't give me Asra. He didn't give me any sort of warning. Amalei Lotzri Chalahasos, he doesn't have to give warning. Rava Latame, this is Rava Lashita. So, the Amar Rava says there are certain professions where no warning is necessary. Mikri Dardiki, a teacher of young children, Shasla, which is this guy's profession that you were someone who planted, Tabcha, a butcher, a shochet, v'umna, well, Rashi says a moel, although Pashup Shad is a means of bloodletter, v'sapar masa, a barber, Kulan Kumusun Va'umdin Dami. All of these people are considered pre-warned. They're all Musun Va'umdin. Klala de Milsa, and the rule is, how do you know if someone is Musrin Vomdin or not? Kol Pseidu de Lahadar, Kmusrin Vomdin Dami. Anytime it's a Pseidu de Lahadar, it's something that cannot come back, that you're not going to be able to retrieve the loss, that's Musrin Vomdin. Rashi says, the Tosos says, Sasapra Masa Kmusrin Vomdin, Pirish Makuntrus, Mishum de Shabeshta, Kivin de Al, Lakachash Pseidu de Lahadar. The Dibra Maskel is off. The Dibra Maskel should be about the Mikri Dardiki. That the reason a teacher of young children is considered a Pseidu de Lahadar is because when you teach young children mistakes, it tends to stick in their brains. They remember, it's the Girsa de Yankasa. They remember what they were taught as kids. So you teach them things that are wrong, so that's going to be in their brains forever. Velesa, de Rav Gufei Islay Perikol Yachbar says to us, but that is not the correct pshat. Because there is a machlokas about this in the second parak of Baba Basra. Let's say you have a teacher who covers a lot of material, but because he covers so much ground, there are mistakes that create in. The kids don't always get everything perfectly accurately. And you have another teacher, very, very accurate, metaktik, that everything is perfect, but very little also. You're not going to cover as much ground that way. So who's better? Which teacher should you hire? Who's considered the better teacher? So the Gemara has a machlokas. One point of view is that shabeshta kivin da ol, that a mistake is never going to go away. It's always going to stick in the person's brain. The Gemara tells the story of Yoav and how it led to disastrous results because a person thought it said that it was timcha ez zachar amalek, not timcha ez zechar amalek. They only have to wipe out the males of amalek. Okay, so the other school of thought, though, is that shabeshta memele nafak, that whatever mistakes will fall away as the child grows up and he matures and he learns a little more, so the mistakes will fall away and he will have accomplished all that. But Rava comes down on the side that shabeshta memele nafka. So don't say that the reason Rava says you're allowed to fire a mikri dardiki who makes a mistake is because shabeshta. Even the al, not true. Rava holds shabesh melenafka. Elahachi kari leyachab pseid lahadr says also. The reason we call it pseid lahadr over here, lefi shabaosa shashalimdu shibushim nispatel alimut shalemes. That time you can never get back. While he was teaching him mistakes, so that's bittul Torah if you're teaching mistakes. You know, it's one thing to teach something that is not accepted in halacha. You have machlokas beshamay in the besila, you learn the sheet of beshamay, elu veil divrei elokim chayim. It's not mistakes, it's just something that's not accepted in halacha. But things that are just patently false, they're not a chelik of Torah, they're just wrong. So that's bittul Torah. You can't say, I was intending to learn Torah. It's nice to intend to learn Torah. If you thought your history book was Torah and you were learning it, that's not Talmud Torah, even if you thought you were learning Torah. So that time one could never get back. So that's what the Mikri Dardiki is referring to. There is some debate as well about the Sapar Masa over here. Rashi says it's talking about the guy who gives haircuts. Rabbi Yonasan explains, because if you get a bad haircut, there's, you know, you're stuck with it for a little while till it grows back in. So there's nothing you could really. So that's a Pseidu de Lohadar. The Tosa Rush though asks that the Gemara in Baba Basra and Chafal of Kotza Braisa, that someone who has a bias in a Chatzar Ashutfim, in a chatzah that's owned by partners, is not able to be maskir to a sofer Yehudi or to a sofer Goy. And the Gemara explains that it's a sofer Masa that we're referring to. Now over there it's clear that the sofer means a guy who's writing shtaros. So why over here that same phrase, sofer Masa, all of a sudden means sapar Masa, means a barber. Over there it was clear that we're talking about someone who's writing shtaros. And it makes sense to say that a guy who writes shtaros, because if he makes a mistake in a shtar, So someone could get money that he's not entitled to, and that would be a very bad thing if a person who writes shtaros makes mistakes. That's also pseida the lo hadar. The Rashi in Baba Basra over there says no, the sofer masa is not talking about writers of shtaros kosei sefer Torah that make a mistake in their ksiva. So why would that be pseida lo hadar? It could always be magia the sefer Torah. I don't know. Maybe the kiyum mitzvah of kriyasa Torah that you tried to do with that sefer Torah is a pseida lo hadar because you lost out all that. All that time, not sure. Okay, but that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Also, by the Tabach, it's a debate in the Rishonim. You're allowed to fire him without any warning the first time he ever messes up, or does it have to be muchzak that he made a mistake? Because it's at some point people will make mistakes, especially something that requires, you know, physical holding your hand straight and making sure. So at some point he might make a mistake. So the rabbi says, no, it must mean that after three times. But the whole point is that without hasra'ah. Yeah, but you don't have to tell him you're on, you know, that he's, you don't have to warn him. That's what it means without hasra'ah. But it has to be that he's made a mistake more than once. Okay, further in the Gemara, who shatala? There was a guy who was planting a vineyard and he was working that vineyard as an aris in order to get half of the payros. He said to the owner of the vineyard, give me whatever shevach that I caused in your vineyard, because I want to stop working, I'm done. And the reason I'm done is I would like to make aliyah, I want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the guy who planted the vineyard came to be toveya by Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Amrlu, Rav Papa said to the owners of the vineyard, havali shvacha, yeah, you got to give him his shevach. Amrle Rava, so Rava said to Rav Papa, why does he have to give him the shevach? You ashbach, aro lo ashbach. Why, you think only he, through his work, was mashbiach the karka, was mashbiach the kramim? The karka itself was not mashbiach the kramim. The shevach comes from the combination of the two. And so the bala sada should be entitled to some of that shevach, because it's his field that increased the value of the vines. Amrle anapalgad shevcha kamin lach. That's what I meant. Give him half of the shevach. Don't give him all of the shevach. So Amrle, so Rava said to Rav Papa, but it's the Bala Kramim is still going to lose out if he gets only half. Adi idna v'shakel balabayis palga ushtala palga. Up until now, the Bala Kerem would get half of the profits, and the guy who was working it would get half. But now this guy's walking away with half, and I still need to hire a sharecropper who's going to get one third of whatever of my half. So I'm like, river de shvacha kamina. I didn't mean to give him half of the whole thing. I meant to say that he gets a quarter of the shevach. So Rav Ashi the meimar river du danka. The Rav Ashi assumed that what he really meant is 1/6. Dam Rav Minyumi Breid Rav Nachumi Basu de shakel shtala palga, in a place where the guy who plants the vineyard gets half. Varisa tiltan, and Aris gets 1/3. Hai shtala debay listaluke. So if the guy who planted it doesn't want to also be the Aris and he wants to leave, yavina le shivcha mesalkina le. You have to reimburse him, but only in a way that the balabais doesn't lose out. So you have to make sure that after the balabais pays the aris, he should still be left with half of this this vineyard. So yeah, Bishlam Rivadu Danka Shapir. So if you're going to say that you give him 1/6, then it works out that he's not going to lose out, because the aris is going to be entitled to 1/3. So let's say it's a total of $6, right? So the aris is going to be entitled to $2. So give this guy $1 so that the balasada will still be in the still have is $3. Eliam Riva Mamish, but if you say you're giving this guy a quarter, so that means if you have $6, you're giving him a dollar and a half, and then you're going to still have to give the artist $2, you're only going to be left with $2.50. Come out the say to the Balabais, Palgadanka. So the Balabais is going to lose out half of 1/6, meaning he's going to lose out a half a dollar, since he's only getting $2.50 instead of $3 from his vineyard. Amalei Ravach Abreid Rav Yosef Ravashi, Ravach Abreid Rav Yosef said to Ravashi, Velei Malei, can't the guy who planted the vineyard say to the Balag Kerem, since you are entitled to half of the Shevach, you could take that and take another Raviyah to give to the artist for his work, and I'll take the quarter that's left. Ant minasa dilach havle larisa. You, from your own chelek, you give to the aris. Meaning, give 1/3, but not 1/3 of the whole thing. 1/3 of your chelek, which is a quarter of all the shevach of the kerem. That's what you should give, and you'll still be left with half of the shevach. Na mansa dili my debeina vidnebe. And the quarter that I take, the aris, your aris doesn't have to work on my quarter, since I'm taking that. So whatever I take is a separate deal. So Amar Ravashi said to Ravacha, Ravacha Breid Rav Yosef, from you I could see that the way that you're talking to me in business, that you're obviously brilliant. So Kimatis Lushchitos Kachim, do me a favor, when you learn Mesechus Vachim, Tava Akshili, come and talk to me in learning, because you obviously you know how to learn. So that's the understanding that it was a compliment. That's how Rashi understands. Other Rishonim are Rashi quotes the Yesh Omrim that Ravashi did not accept what he had to say, and he was just being dochim by saying, you know what, let's talk and learning when we learn a different mesechta. Let's not talk and learning now. But he wasn't really accepting what he had to say. Okay, I guess we're at a good stopping point, so we'll pick up at Gufa Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow. Oh, yeah.